Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
Hammer. Bad weekend for the Sacramento Kings. One thing that bothered me, Hammer, was last night when you guys were talking to Doug, it felt like Doug was really trying to emphasize, like, he kept saying the level of compete, the level of compete, the level of compete, kind of insinuating maybe the guys weren't competing last night. And do you think I misread that? Do you think that was a real concern for Doug Christie last night?
No, I think it was. I mean, like, look, we've kind of gone through this season where he's already like doing the tough love thing, like every other game or every third game, you know, like I do think that he's been harsh on his team behind the scenes. I think he's also been harsh on his team when it comes to like answering questions by the media. You know, and he's doing the best he can, it feels like, to try to figure this whole thing out. But, you know, here we are 10 games in. What do we have, like 7 different starting lineups? And some of those starting lineups include, you know, a two-way player, a different rookie, a guy they signed 5 days earlier, a guy they signed, you know, a week earlier. Like, this doesn't feel like, I don't know, like they did the work coming into the season to create a roster that could compete. And so you're going to have mixing and matching and trying to figure things out on the fly. And that's not always easy, but the one thing that you do expect is the same thing I've always told my boys. When you go out there, the only thing you can control is how hard you play. Your energy, your enthusiasm, your effort. Those are the only things you can control. And if you watch these last couple of games, there have been moments where clearly they're just not competing. And that's where you get 40 point quarters. And that's just letting off the gas and allowing someone else to dictate what the play on the court is going to be. And that's not a good trait to have when you're a professional basketball team.
Nah, man. And 100%, understand the question that D'Lo asked there, but I'd be alarmed if he thought they did compete yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, that was the whole weekend, James, was just, it was an abomination. I was very, very disappointed.
I think you can compete and play poorly. I think you can.
Well, you can.
Maybe not that poorly.
You can. Uh-huh. But if you watch those games like Doug Christie did, I don't know how you thought they competed at their highest.
Okay.
You know what I mean? There were moments in the first quarter and a half of the Thunder game, they were getting after it. They had to work back to get into the game and stuff like that. And you could kind of say the same thing about the game last night. Like I said, halfway through, got to 49-45, and then that was it.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. Once both games once the Thunder and the Timberwolves put a little heat and put a little pressure on the Kings, they folded like a stack of cards. And that was
49-45. I don't even think the run had hit yet, had it?
No.
They were just playing. They were playing from, you know, behind. Mm-hmm. But the run that ended the game hadn't hit yet.
Yeah, that was the one that started it. It was bad.
Yeah, it was tough. It's tough to watch. And, you know, I don't blame fans for staying away a little bit. I also don't blame fans for booing or for chanting for Keon Ellis. Like, what you're hoping for is that something will change, you know, in a game like that. It's not just that you gave up 40 points in the second quarter. You came back out and got your butts kicked in the third. Like, that's just not acceptable. Like, to have that level of getting destroyed. And, you know, if there's one thing Doug has done, he's let just about every player go out there and show you what they can do, except for Doug McDermott. He doesn't get to play. Everyone else has got to play here in the first 10 games of the season. And it's just, you know, you can't say, well, I didn't get an opportunity or anything else. It's like, when you do get your chance, you need to go out there and play hard and show that you're going to be a positive and not a negative. And I think way too often there are players that are either starting the game or finishing the game that they just haven't had it. And so it's a tough look right now.
What do you asked Doug the question last night about getting Keon Ellis minutes. I'm going to ask you that same question. I'm going to ask you to answer the question that you asked Doug last night. Do you need to work Keon into the rotation? And if so, how do you do it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of the more difficult questions that, you know, faces Doug. And I get sort of all sides here. Keon wants to play because he's in a contract year and he wants to get paid. His agent wants him to get paid. Everybody on his group wants him to get paid. The fans, they love Keon. They've embraced Keon, and they know that he can be a good player for them. So I get their angst and their want, especially if you're going to give up 80 points combined between the second and third quarters. At some point, you have to try a better defensive option, right? And then I feel for Doug, too, because he has a roster that is unbalanced and is extremely difficult to manage. And when, you know, you go out and you sign Dennis Schroeder to a 3-year deal starting at $14 million, you know, to be your starting point guard, that's one thing. When you bring in a first ballot Hall of Famer and Russell Westbrook, who's just taking this team by storm, he's going to eat minutes. When you got a $46, $47 million player in Zach LaVine, who's leading your team in scoring, he's going to play. When you have a guy who should have won 2 Sixth Man of the Year awards and who's playing really well offensively, he's going to play. So, like, where do you fit in Keon Ellis? And the answer is he hasn't. So it's going to be difficult like this. And like what Doug said on Friday night when I asked him the question again, he said, well, it's only going to get worse when Keegan gets back. Because any minutes now you're stealing from the power forward spot is going to go to Keegan, which means those minutes that either Russ or DeMar are moving over and playing the four, that's going to go away. And it's not an easy situation. You heard Doug even say, hey, look, you know, we've got a huge minute guy at that position that's playing, you know, 34, 36 minutes. And then we got another guy right behind him who's a really good player and he's got to play as well. And we're trying to steal minutes from this position and that position. At the end of the day, I don't think there's a perfect solution outside of trading somebody. And whether that's Keon or one of the other four, you know, eventually someone's got to go because I don't expect that group of 5 guards to finish the season on the roster together. And if they do, I don't expect the same 5 guards back next season. It's just kind of the reality of the situation. And so to answer your question, I would find a way to get him on the court. I would probably give him some minutes that right now I'm giving to DeMar DeRozan, and I would, you know, start stealing from the small forward position. I would move Zach LaVine over to the 3 a lot more and try to get Keon on the court. But I don't know that there is a perfect solution except for you better figure it out, because if you're going to keep giving up that many points with that lineup, it doesn't matter how good they're playing offensively. Somebody's got to go. You just can't get you know, run over by give up 144 points every single game and think that you're going to win basketball.
Whose minutes would you kind of dive into? Would it be a little bit of collective? Not to say anybody is playing bad, but I look at the first half of that game on Friday. Dennis Schroeder played 16 minutes. Malik Monk played 16. I think Nick Clifford played 10. Would that potentially be a situation where maybe you take 4 minutes off of Schroeder, 4 minutes off of Monk, and now you've got 8 minutes to play with Keon in that first half? Is that kind of how you would do it? Do you see some of these other guys getting a little too many minutes and you could take from them? How would you get Keon involved into that rotation?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly, and this isn't to call him out, I don't think that you should be running DeMar DeRozan out there for 36 plus minutes a game. I mean, he's 36 years old, and, you know, it's kind of, to me, it's a little bit like the Christian McCaffrey thing with the 49ers. Like, how many carries can you give a guy in the first half of the season and expect him to have anything left in the second half? You know, you're talking about, again, in the NFL, a 29-year-old guy versus a 36-year-old guy. But realistically, that's kind of the same when you're looking at running backs in the NFL. And, like, I just don't think that there's a reason to be running him out there for 36 minutes. And that's not to say he's played bad. I think he has played well. But if he was playing 28 minutes, I kind of feel like his numbers would look almost identical to what they do right now. And there's 8 minutes that you might be able to steal for somebody else. You know, again, the power forward minutes, you know, if DeMar's got to play some more power forward or what, like, I don't know how you manage that. Same with Neek Clifford, you know, Neek can go over and play a little bit more at the four. It's not a perfect solution, but this team doesn't have a perfect solution, which is why they started Precious Achiuwa after signing him 5 days earlier.
What happens when Keegan Murray returns? How do you think some of this stuff shakes out when Keegan is back?
I think you have the same exact situation at the power forward spot that you have at the two guard spot. There's going to be one player playing 35, 36 minutes a night, and that's Keegan Murray. And then you're going to have one player playing 12 to 13 minutes. And whether that's Precious or it's somebody else, you know, I think that that's the way that they're going to have to do this thing. And that just takes away any extra bonus minutes that you have there. But Keegan is so incredibly valuable to this team. You know, he can't fix everything just like Keon Ellis can't fix everything, but he certainly can be better. You know, you can be better on the defensive end. And, you know, last year we talked about that, the whole thing where, you know, they were allowing 15 three-pointers a game and they're only making 11. And so you're walking into every game with like a 12-point disadvantage at the three-point line. Well, that's exactly what we're dealing with here with the defensive side of the ball. You're walking in with like a 12-point disadvantage every single game, and you're trying to make it up on the offensive end. And that's just because you don't have good defenders. You have negative defenders at almost every position on the floor. You have undersized defenders at almost every position on the floor. You've got bad rebounders at almost every starting position on the floor outside of center. Like, that's what the coaching staff is dealing with. And so the fact that they're underwater and they're 3-7, not a surprise, not with this schedule and not with the collection of players. And until they figure out how to be a team and not a collection of players, this thing's going to keep going this way. Because that's what it is. Like, if you're bad individually as defenders, you have to find ways to be better as a team. And so far, we have not seen that.
Well, one of the things Doug talked about last night is, and I agree with him, that this doesn't mean they're great, but I think some of those guys have been working individually as defenders. And I see that on the TV screen, on the tape. But he said the problem is it's not a cohesive unit as a team defense. I believe that you can become an adequate team defense and have team defenders, even if you're not traditionally this great individual defender. Do you think that's a possibility? Like DeMar DeRozan and DeMontis Sabonis, not great individual defenders, but with effort and IQ and a want to, they can be part of good team defense. Do you think that's a something that can happen, just in general? Not
yeah,
like this Kings team, but just in general.
Yeah, actually, I'll just point you to like the early 2000 Kings. Like Mike Bibby was not a good defender at all. You know, Chris Webber was an okay defender. Peja Stojakovic had moments where he was a good defender. At the point where the Kings got Vlade Divac in his 30s, he was not a great defender at that point. But you were able to be a really strong defensive team as a unit, but you had a primary ball-stopping, defensive-minded player that was Doug Christie. And so that's where I think the Keon Ellis thing plays in. You know, he doesn't have all the skill set that Doug has had as an offensive player, but he certainly can play defense and he can wreak havoc on you know, that side of the ball. And I think, you know, when we've seen him playing alongside Nick Clifford, I love that look. Even when he's playing alongside Devin Carter and they're running the zone, but with those two up top, I thought it looked really, really interesting. And they were getting deflections. They were flying all over the place. They're getting steals and breakaway buckets. That's gone. You know, like they're not using that look at all right now. And to me, like, if you have a way to steal some time and mix it up on the defensive side of the ball, it kind of resets everything. So if your other defense isn't great without those guys, it takes a little bit of time when they go off the court for the opposition to adjust a little bit and get back to what they're doing. So at this point, like, look, I don't know that there's a way to make this a good team defensive team, you know, a good team defense group. But I do know that it usually starts with at least one defensive catalyst that can help you. And unfortunately for right now, that has not been Dennis Schroeder. You know, like he's been touted as like this plus-plus defender. He's been league average. At least that's what it looks like to me. Like I'm not seeing anything with Dennis Schroeder that's amazing. On occasion, he has some really, really nice plays. But overall, you know, he's just kind of there with everybody else.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
We were listening to both Doug Christie and Zach Levine earlier. Both had some remarks that are left for interpretation. Maybe neither were like specifically clear on what they were saying, but you could definitely interpret what they were saying. And Zach Levine sort of hinted at maybe we don't have the personnel to play defense the way that Doug wants to. Like he specifically said, I'm working my ass off on the defensive end, but maybe it's not leading to the success we want. And then he brought up the, you don't ask Rudy Gobert to score 30 points a game. That's not his job. He's a defender. Like, that's what he does. And my takeaway from it was, like, yeah, just I think Zach LaVine might be right. Perhaps Doug is asking this team to play in a style that they're just not built to play. He's asking to play a style that he doesn't have the players for.
No, I would agree, but... like, what is your other option?
Oh, I don't disagree. Yeah, you don't have one.
Just say, hey, we get it. You don't play any defense, so you guys better score 200 every night or we're going to lose. I mean, that's the alternative.
Well, there's one way of doing it.
Yeah, like, I don't know what the alternative is, but I will tell you this. They're not good offensively either. Like, individuals, they're great. They're great, but their offensive rating is like 26 in the league. They're not good offensively. And that's because they're not playing as a team. They're playing as individuals. And so that's the first thing that has to go. If you can't break that, then this whole entire season is lost. If you can't get them to play an offense and get them to play together as a defensive unit, you're going to lose 50-plus games. And that's just the reality. Like, it doesn't matter. Every team has offensive weapons. Every player in the league was the top scorer on their high school team or on their college team or on their high school, college, junior high team. So when they get to the league, it's not like, is it a surprise when, Corey Brewer goes for 50? Yeah, it's a surprise, but, I guarantee you at some point in his career in, high school or something, that Corey Brewer went for 40 something. So it's not that big of a surprise for the players, as much as it is for us on the outside looking in. This is kind of like the reverse. Like, if you can't play defense at just a basic level and try to hold your position just, again, at a basic level, we're not saying you got to go out there and be OKC, but if you can't do that, you're not going to win. I mean, it's that simple. And it can't be all on somebody else to save the day on the defensive side of the ball and because you score. Because look around, this team has a bunch of dudes who can drop 30 on any given night. That doesn't matter if you're not playing defense.
I'm looking at the schedule. I don't know when this team wins two games in a row. Like, I'm trying to figure out if they do it before Christmas. There's a at Portland versus Portland. I don't know. There's a Utah-Memphis in there. I don't know. Phoenix might be better than we thought.
Portland's a good example, though. The Kings are like have more talent than Portland, at least on paper. But they play harder. They play hard every single night. They don't give in.
Sorry, that was James. That was inappropriate. I'm sorry. They got the over on the win total for Vegas.
Yeah, but all their chips are in.
All their chips are in.
They ante up. Like that. Yeah.
It's one of those things, though, like in that same vein, you hear Doug Christie speak last night, and without them being in the same place and probably hearing what was said, Doug spoke directly to that. He said, yeah, Zach LaVine is doing really well individually. Mm-hmm. Said him specifically, like, he is really working hard on the defensive end individually. But the question is, can we turn that individual defense into team defense? And I really would have to look at the film. But, yeah, one-on-one, guarding somebody, keeping your man in front of you. I see you working, Zach, but where are you at on the help side? Are you letting guys cut across your face on the defensive end? You know what I mean? Like, that's, are you moving? Are you communicating? Are you communicating to the other, when you are the backside guy, the last line of defense, are you communicating to the guys in front of you and telling them, like, hey, here's a back screen coming, or here's a pick and roll, I got your help? Are you doing those things? Then those are the things that I think Doug Christie's talking about when he says, yeah, I see you working on the end. That's a great step. But are some of you guys that are working, Malik Monk's another one who's working one-on-one defending people, but where are you at on the help side? Where are you at on the communication? And that's what I, yeah, you're not historically this great defensive player, but that just takes want to, that takes awareness, and that takes commitment to your teammates to improve on. And they can do that to a certain degree. They just choose not to.
Yeah, I think it is. I don't even know if it's like a conscious decision to say yes or no, I'm not going to play defense, or I'm going to play defense. I think when it comes down to it, like, you have a bunch of offensive minded players who have had to play defense somewhat in their careers, but not every single minute of every single game. And again, I feel the same way about the defense on this team as I do the offense. It just looks like a bunch of me stuff. You know, it just looks, and a lot of things, you know, the things that, like, we talked about in the first Beam Team year. I remember coming on with you guys, and we talked about how, you know, early in the season that they were doing all these crazy things on the offensive end that looked really sustainable. And the advanced statistic told you that they were going to be a much better team than they were. The one thing that was missing is that they weren't hitting shots, right? They were missing quite a few open looks. And if they just got that to like a reasonable rate, they could be one of the better offensive teams in the league. And sure enough, it happened. My concern with this team is the exact opposite. Like, I'm watching, you know, Russell Westbrook shoot almost 15% higher than his career average on threes. I'm watching, you know, DeMar DeRozan shoot like 11 or 12% higher than his career average from three. Like, these are issues that I don't know how the Kings, because when they come back down to earth, and, you know, again, Malik Monk shooting 7 or 8% above his career average, when they drop back down to their average, what does that team look like? Because we're already seeing what a team looks like that doesn't play any defense. But if you take away some of these components that do not look like they're sustainable at all, what, how bad can it get? And, you know, again, it's about trying to outscore your opponent sometimes, but, like, if you're scoring 2-point baskets every time and they're scoring threes, and then you go to the other end and you're just not playing any defense, like, this has potential for complete disaster. They really do need to find chemistry. They need to figure out how to play together as a group, but not just on the defensive end. It's on the offensive end too, because these things feed into each other. Like, the fact that they can't rebound without Domas on the court is leading to zero transition buckets. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the fact that they can't get a stop on the defensive end, or they're not scoring efficiently. Well, if you're not scoring efficiently, you can't set up your defense because you're not getting back. Like, all of these things play into each other. And it to me, like, there is a worse version of what's happening right now. And it's just hiding right below the surface. And it's like, hey, they're losing games, and they're also shooting well above their head from the perimeter. What happens when that goes away? And so, I don't want to be all that negative, but, like, the team's 3-7. I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, more doom and gloom, because James is right. There's not a lot of positive to talk about, but we do have a couple of basketball games coming up this week at the Golden 1 Center before they head out for a lengthy road trip. So we'll discuss some of that when we return with our insider from the insiders. It's James Hamm here with Dylan KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to hydro.com code fit and save up to $600 on your next hydro. Hydro.com code fit.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at redeemhealthshare.org.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
If you have not heard, we are accepting submissions over at ESPN1320.com to nominate our first high school athlete of the week. It's right there on the front page. If you go to ESPN1320.com, you'll see it. Literally, it will be the first thing you see. Click on high school athlete of the week. And if you've got a submission, son, daughter, friend, niece, nephew, homie, whatever, just an athlete, you think deserves the recognition, submit.
Yeah.
And all of the guidelines are in there, like the pictures, the release form, all of that stuff, man. But we want to make sure that we show the young people in our community some love. So we'll crown our first high school athlete of the week next week, and every Tuesday at 3 o'clock. So you've got till the I think it's Sunday night to get your submissions in. I think you got till Sunday night at midnight to get your submissions in. So that's ESPN1320.com. Click the High School Athlete of the Week, and we'll name our first High School Athlete of the Week 1 week from this Tuesday. Very, very excited about that. And there will be a lot of Kings basketball played prior to our first High School Athlete of the Week being named. And it'll start tomorrow night with Denver in the most ridiculous 8 o'clock start time you could imagine.
I disagree. I can't wait.
Absolutely absurd. James, you're not even getting out of the Golden One Center until Wednesday. it's awful. I think Adam Silver should ban this. I think Adam Silver should be thrown out of office for allowing this to happen. And it's the first night of a back-to-back.
Well, that is not a good
thing. They got to play Atlanta the next night at 7.
It's literally just like a doubleheader. It's not even a back-to-back.
Might as well just sleep at the Golden One Center. but there's a lot of basketball ahead, Hammer. We saw them not that long ago against Denver. We were even speculating earlier on what the starting lineup will be because we have, you know, 9 games with 10 different starting lineups. I'd argue even the one game where the same 5 players started, it was a little bit different. And the one that was a little bit different was actually Denver. DeMar started at the 4. Russell Westbrook started at the 2. But, James, I honestly have no idea what we're going to see tomorrow in terms of a starting lineup.
Yeah, it's super, super tough to figure out what they're going to do, especially you were hoping you were going to catch lightning in a bottle with Russ and Malik Monk coming off the bench together. And that didn't work out at all. I mean, they just weren't good, no. Even in the least bit. It was a train wreck. And so, you know, Doug Christie, he's sitting here mixing and matching players all the time, trying to find these little groups that can play together. And so you might be able to, again, like give your bench some bump, give your starting lineup a nice push, you know, clear up some defensive things while adding offense, you know, give yourself size and rebounding in the starting lineup, which is why they went to Precious Achiuwa. And then, you know, the other players that they can't seem to figure out how to fit into a new role. So I don't know who's going to start. You know, to be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Precious again, just because they've got Aaron Gordon, who's extremely versatile, and it's a big front line. But I also think Russ played really well. You know, I would be really close, if I'm the Kings at this point, to looking at Russell Westbrook as my starting point guard as an option and see how that goes. And, you know, maybe it's going to be bad defensively, but how bad could it get? I mean, I don't know that it could be worse than what we've already seen. So, you know, I think, again, you have to keep trying to figure out combinations and hope that something just works and that you have to stick with it. But until Keegan Murray gets back, I think this is going to be a bunch of mixing and matching.
James, in your opinion, who are the real Sacramento Kings? Is what we saw this past weekend, or was it what we saw like last weekend with the Bucks, and then how they played against Denver, how they, the winning against the Warriors? Like, who do you think is the real Kings?
Man, I think it's both of them. And I think that's the problem. It's just Jekyll and Hyde, you know? So, like, I kind of want to see what they look like outside of this first, you know, 18, 19 games when the schedule lightens up a little bit. Can they get some momentum playing against lesser opponents? But for right now, you know, you're going to get destroyed by teams that have been together, by teams that are like top tier teams in the Western Conference. That's exactly what's happened the last two games. It's like OKC is the team that won the championship. They're incredible. They know exactly how to play together on both ends of the court. And then the next game you show up and it's, you know, the team that lost to them in the Western Conference Finals. And if you look at the first, you know, again, 18, 19 games of the season, it's three games against Denver. It's three games against OKC. It's two or three against Minnesota. Like, the hits just keep coming. And, you know, even the Eastern Conference teams you're playing, teams like the Bucks, teams like the Bulls, who haven't hardly lost at all. Mm-hmm. And even what's the other? Oh, the Bucks, the Bulls. Who do they got coming up? Oh, the Hawks. The Hawks they've got coming up. The Hawks have played really well. They're long. They're athletic. They play like really good pace. But on top of that, they're playing without Trey for a few games here. Mm-hmm. And you're playing on the second night of a back-to-back. So there is no like natural advantage of being at home. So like, again, I'm kind of looking forward to that, you know, where they play the Suns, they play Memphis, they play a couple of teams that just aren't great
Utah's
right now.
In there, yeah.
Yeah, at the end of November, right? And by that point, you probably should have Keegan Murray back as well. You're kind of hoping you get him back a couple of games into the tough stretch so he can work out some of the kinks. So when you do have a little bit of a lighter schedule, you can build some momentum and try to get back closer to 500. But there are no promises here.
This has to be the shortest turnaround in NBA history for a back-to-back. It's literally 23 hours apart. Like, start times are 23 hours apart. That has to be a first, right?
Feels illegal.
The only time it wouldn't be is if it happened already this year. And I don't know if it has.
I think there are road games that, like, you could play a 5 o'clock game in one time zone and then the next day have a 4 o'clock game.
Oh, sure.
So it's possible that there have been a road game here or there that feels like it's less than 24 hours. Mm-hmm. But again, this is, you're playing the Hawks, it's three games in four nights. And a short turnaround the night before. So, I mean, this is the NBA. I'll tell you, the Golden State Warriors, they're on their fourth set of back-to-backs already. Mm-hmm. And that's that's an old team that's just getting run over by the back to backs.
And the road is killing
really,
them.
Really, yeah, the yeah. It's tough because, they just keep playing every night. So even if they have a day off in between their back to backs, they just keep, you know, when you're an older team, it's tough to recover. And you know, they're a team that just, you know, again, they're battling injuries and everything else. They're a 6-5 team that's probably more like a 7-4 or a, you know, or an 8-3 team if it wasn't for the fact that number one, injuries, but number two, the back-to-backs wearing them out.
What about that Minnesota schedule that we laid out, how they came from New York to Minnesota to Sacramento. No, to Utah.
No, Utah. Yeah.
To Sacramento.
They're going to play Utah. Yeah. And then
back to Minnesota.
To play Sacramento.
Yeah. This man in like a week and a half.
Yeah. And it culminates with the Friday game because the Kings hit the road after the back to back, but they literally hit the road. They play Wednesday, leave, they play Friday.
Yeah.
So there's no. Taking a quick look, Friday, Sunday, they'll have Monday and Tuesday. They'll have Monday and Tuesday before they take on the Thunder on Wednesday, and then the Grizzlies on Thursday, and then Denver on Saturday. There is a ton of basketball ahead for the Sacramento Kings. There's even, man, once you get to that Oklahoma City game, holy crap, you've got the Wednesday, Thursday, you got Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Wednesday, and then you'll get 2 days before you play Miami on Saturday in Miami.
James, I got a question for you. Well, Damian, I got a question for you too.
Oh, thank you.
Both of you guys, you can
excited to be a part of this.
You guys make anything out of the courtside watch gate and about how Scott Perry, Vivek Ranadive, and Alvin Gentry all left together? And it don't really matter that Vivek was the only one that came back, but them all leaving together, does that ring any alarms for you?
No, I mean, I think they probably wanted to have discussions that wasn't in front of everybody. I was very surprised if Vivek didn't come back because Vivek usually sits there, even if it's horrific, he'll sit there the entire game. And I think that there was more that you could put into that.
Vivek
you know,
is done with this franchise. I want a new owner.
Exactly. Well, I mean, look, like he's equally responsible for what's happening here. Like he's on the hook for this as well. And, you know, I know it doesn't feel good, but at least they were cheering Keon and not, you know, turning on the owner or chanting sell the team, you know, because to be honest, like you're heading that way. You're heading towards the fans revolting here because they're really frustrated with what they're seeing and ticket prices are high and just the effort, the energy, all that stuff. It's not representative of Sacramento. And, you know, like, to be honest, I'm very surprised he left and did not come back. And, you know, maybe he had something going on or he had a flight to catch or something. So there's always a possibility there's something. But at the same time, like, you're the owner, you know, if you're going to get up and leave at halftime, you're kind of giving your fan base sort of the same, you know, nod. Hey, if you guys don't want to be here, it's okay. I'm leaving. And I don't think that that's a good way to, you know, kind of represent, you know, like I stay to the end of every game. You know, I don't leave early. And I'm not a guy who owns the team. So I do think that that was kind of an odd look, and it was really odd to see John Reinhart come out and kind of sit with those guys. So it was, you know, Alvin Gentry and Scott Perry and John Reinhart and Matina and Peja, who's in town. So they all sat there and watched the second half without Vivek, and just a little different, right?
Yeah, since that question went to both of us, I don't think it means anything. Like, I mean, I think we're looking for something to react to. I think sometimes we love to fix our eyes on what Vivek and everyone around him is doing, but I have no clue what it means. I don't think it means anything. Like, what did Vivek go seek investors? Like, I want out, or did he go scan the free agent market or start calling general managers? Like, I don't think that. Unless he went back and said, I'm unhappy. Yeah, pal, so am I. The team's down 30. I don't know what to tell you. I think it was much ado about nothing. It was just an ass whooping. That caught everyone's attention, and so it became a story.
I think it's much ado about nothing as well, but I do find it a little odd that all three of them went to go talk at the same
time.
Well,
remember the...
not that anything's
remember
happen,
the Vivek was mad... courtside thing when Vivek was sitting there next to Anjali, and I think it was either Matt or Sean's camera was fixated on it. It was just stuck on him, and he's just sitting there, and he's looking mopey, and everyone was analyzing that video. Oh, what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
He was a cranky fan who left.
Yeah, I would have.
Probably not the only
reason,
one.
The only reason I feel that way, once again, I don't think, oh, they're going to talk about trades or whatever. It's like, yeah, I'm just going to leave. If I'm Vivek, right? I'm not going to say, Scott, Alvin, come with me. I'm about to leave. Not saying that's what happened, yeah. But it was a little odd that all three of them got up and went to the back at the same time.
Sure. I got you.
No, I'm with you. And people who are asking, John Reinhardt is a president of the Kings. I believe that's his official title.
Yeah, but president of business operations?
Of the business side. Yeah, and he's been there forever. John has been around for
like multiple owners around
25, 30 years.
Yeah.
Vivek, he's a good dude.
Vivek said, come on, D-Lo, let's go.
That's a good reference. That's a great reference that James doesn't understand. Come on, man. Sorry, James. Don't mind him.
They left Farouk.
He just Miss Mac. Hey, if they wanted to get a shot together, they probably should have brought the bottle up to the media area, because we deserve to have one in that game as well.
Anyone who sat through that game deserved to have a shot.
Well, I didn't earn my shot.
No,
because I left.
That's because you were smart.
I left.
Yeah, you were smarter. You were smarter than the rest of us. It's the 11-year-old kept going. Is this over yet? Yeah, baby, it is. But it's not. Just a few more minutes.
I'll watch just the rest in the middle of the night.
They're not going to come back, right? No. Mm. No, we've known that for about 50 minutes that they're not going to come back. But
no,
it's fine. It's fine. And now they got to play Denver tomorrow. They usually play Denver pretty well, Hammer. I just don't know. Are you afraid of a... Like Kenny used the example of like a breaking point being, well, it's not my fault. Like the individual thought process being, well, it's not on me. It's Doug. It's the organization. It's the culture. It's this. It's that. Are you afraid that that might plague this team at some point?
Yeah, of course. Of course. I mean, but like, I don't know what has to change. Like, you know, again, we've had an ownership change here. A decade ago, 13 years ago, whatever it was, 12 years. You know, so that's one thing that has happened and hasn't really worked out all that well. But if you're there, like the coaching staff is different, like probably 80% turnaround of the coaching staff. The training staff is different. You know, Chip Chase. Yeah. Why am I drawing a blank?
I think that's it, isn't it?
Yeah. So they replaced their lead trainer. And again, we're talking about a guy who was with the Jordan Bulls at the end, who's been in Sacramento before, who left and came back. You know, again, they've changed out so many different aspects of this group. Front office is different, you know, so like, I don't know what it is. The practice facility is amazing. The locker room and the facilities there are amazing. Like you can keep saying, oh, well, this is, you know, a broke franchise or whatever. They're not, you know, they've put a lot of money into this thing and, you know, the amenities are beautiful. It's just like, it feels like perpetual cycle of changing coaches, changing GMs while you still have a coach under contract. So then you have to fire the coach a year into the next year. Like it's this, again, this perpetual cycle of instability that, for some reason they foster, you know, and again, I think it is a little bit like the tech world where, you know, you push for people to be climbers and you push for people to jump over the top of people and sort of ascend in their own way. But that's just not the basketball world. And, you know, the instability here is just really frustrating to watch and to be a part of, you know, as someone who's covered this team forever. And so that's one thing that, you know, again, I would love to see them fix, but that doesn't usually get fixed when you start 3-7 with another, you know, 8 or 9 games of hell in front of you.
Hammer, we won't talk to you before the Nuggets game. You were spot on Friday when you said, I think they got a stinker in them for this game. Little did we know You meant the whole weekend. What do you, you got a feel on what they might look like tomorrow after everything that took place over the weekend?
I don't know. I would like to say that they're going to bounce back. I need to see resiliency from this group. You know, they took a day off today as far as like full-fledged practice and media and all that stuff. They might have had like some walkthroughs and stuff like that, but
excuse me.
But tired. They did actually practice. Well, I mean, some of us stayed for the whole game, Kenny. Some of us stayed for the whole game last night and had to get up for an early show.
I did. Well, I stayed up. I didn't go to sleep.
Yeah. So
that was a shot at Vivek.
There it is. Yeah. I don't know what to make of this team yet. Like, I don't have a feel for them. And I would like to tell you they're going to have a big bounce back game and they're going to have this coming to Jesus talk and it's going to make everything better. But, you know, I would expect that if they don't have a decent showing against Denver, they will have a decent showing against the Hawks the next night. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I kind of feel that way, but I do. I think that they've got a chance to split this series. I also thought they had a chance to split over the weekend, and that wasn't remotely close to you know, what came out of the weekend.
Sure. Yeah, no, I was kind of with you in that regard, and you said you had a feeling about the way that Friday was going to go. It was something that hadn't happened to Sacramento yet this season. Like, even the games that they had lost, even some of them were frustrating. The Lakers one was frustrating. They had a double-digit lead. I think that was against Chicago. I can't really remember. That was a frustrating loss to have. But, you know, can you talk about it, come to Jesus, can you just snap back into what you were before? Like, you were out there competing, you were out there fighting, and in those games, it felt like, Hammer, you could correct me, I feel like this is usually the case, the offense was leading to a increased effort on the defensive end. You know, they're putting the ball in the basket, and that's giving them an opportunity to set up. They're not playing in transition. They're not guarding fast breaks or doing anything like that. When the opponent is taking the ball out of the basket, it gives them an opportunity to set up. And I think they were playing a little bit better defensively in those games where they were a little more cohesive on the offensive end. I know there hasn't been very many of them, but there are a few of them.
Yeah, I've told you guys this forever. Like, offense and defense are so, like, intertwined. That if you're not good offensively, and you're allowing the opposition to grab defensive rebounds at a high clip, then you're always in transition and you don't get time to set up and you're not going to be nearly as good. And, you know, it's the same thing when you're bad defensively. You know, it's just, you know, again, you're always taking the ball out of the hoop. You're always going up against a team that set their defense. That might, you know, leave a guy or two behind to mess with your dribbler, your ball handler coming up the court. And so you just get caught in this perpetual cycle of always kind of being behind. And it makes it really difficult. I think that, you know, I can probably, the first step for this team is to be better offensively. Mm. Be better offensively so you can be better defensively. But at the same time, like, I don't know how to achieve that. You know, we've seen some moments where, again, I think they start running stuff. They start running the same plays again and again, and you start to see some continuity on the offensive end. But it's just too few and far between. You know, they've got to do it more consistently.
Well, Jesse's telling us to end the show. So no Kings basketball tonight, and we are contractually forbidden from doing a radio show tomorrow.
Mm.
So we will not be with you tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, but we will be back on Wednesday following the Sacramento Kings and the Denver Nuggets. So we will see you here Wednesday at 10 a.m. with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, nobody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at UnitedHealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.